Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Well, good morning, church. Come on, you can do better than that, Father's Day. Morning, church. That's better. That's better. I thought it's very important that we start today just around the whole idea of dad jokes. And you might think that I'm going to come out and tell you some dad jokes, but I think it's really important to get an understanding about what a great dad joke looks like first. So we need to know what a great dad joke looks like. So I've got 4 points on this, 4 points on what a great dad joke looks like. And the first point is it must be corny and often very annoying. Okay, that's the first point about a dad joke. The second one is, they get better with age. Now, what I mean by that, it doesn't mean that the person telling it is necessarily old, because young dads, I saw I saw Matt Burt on Friday telling a couple of dad jokes, and he was just so excited about the jokes he was telling, and they were just so ordinary, you wouldn't believe it. See, young dads can tell great dad jokes. It means, when I mean they get better with age, it means that the more the same joke is told, the better it gets. Okay, so that's number two. Number three, a great dad joke will always, and this is a sign of a great dad joke, will always get an eye roll or a here we go again. All right, and the fourth thing is, the ultimate sign that it is a great dad joke, this is the ultimate sign, is that the only person laughing is dad. That means it's the best dad joke ever. So just a side bit of advice to dads, you must have a go-to joke. So as in the repetitive one, you must have one of those. Now this is mine, this is my go-to joke, and my kids love this, they love this. And so it's a bit of an anecdote, not a joke. And so one of my sons, say Josh, comes to me and he says, I can't find my keys. And I say, I know where they are. And he says, where? And I say, where you last left them. That's so annoying. That is so annoying. But anyway, I've got a couple of other dad jokes, so I'll bring them to you this morning just to really set the morning off on good stead. So here's one. I don't trust stairs. They're always up to something. Son, this is another one of these anecdotes. It's probably been told many times over the years. Dad, I'm hungry. And Dad says, hi, hungry, I'm Dad. And here's another one. Did you hear about the shepherd who drove his sheep through the town? He was given a ticket for making a U-turn. No applause, thanks. That makes it a bad joke. What did one DNA say to the other DNA? Do these genes make me look fat? And here's one I heard on Friday from someone around. My dog swallowed a few Scrabble tiles the other day. I took him to the vet. No word yet. That's a ripper, isn't it? That's just rippling through the congregation. That's fantastic. That's enough of the dad jokes. That's the spiritual side of things out of the way today. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for Father's Day. And Lord, it is just a great thing to celebrate. And I pray that you would just speak into our midst right now, that your spirit would rest upon what I say. The words would be revelation, and Father, that we would be all the better for hearing your word today. It is life-changing and powerful, and we just give you thanks for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm aware that everyone here is in a different place. And Father's Day causes different thoughts, feelings, and emotions, as Graham has shared a little bit this morning. but it is still so important for us to celebrate and recognise Father's Day, no matter what some of the world says. Genesis 1:27 says this: "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them." There's only two there, male and female. I just thought I'd make mention of that. Fathers are an important and an integral part of God's order for family. And as much as there are sections of society that don't agree, I'll be going with what the Word of God says about fathers, marriage, and family. And I will encourage others to do the same. Now, one of the thoughts that came to mind as I began to prepare this message was that we don't get to choose our earthly fathers. And I know there will be people here today who have struggled with that thought, and maybe still struggling with that. And for some, it has or is affecting the relationship that you have with God, your Heavenly Father. Now, the second part of that thought that I had was, even though we don't get to choose our earthly father, we do get to choose our Heavenly Father. A Heavenly Father, and I'm going to change this from us to you as an individual, a Heavenly Father who loves you, a Heavenly Father who loves you so much that he sent his Son to die for you. A Heavenly Father who wants the best for you. As Jeremiah 29:11 says, he has a plan for you to give you a hope and a future. And today, you can make a choice and you can choose him and his ways. If we can just read Joshua 24:14 to 15, if we want to put that on the screen. "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. Remove the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. If it is unacceptable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live." And Joshua said, "But as for me and my house, we choose, we will serve the Lord." Last year, around this time of the year, my dad passed away. He was 91. Hope I can get through this part all right. He's an awesome dad. And I'm one of the fortunate ones who had a dad who gave me a great example. When he was 10 years old, his dad passed away through complications from the First World War. The picture you see is of him probably 5 or 6 years ago, and my sister had taken him to a property that his dad was brought up on. And he walked up to see it, and he also saw his gravesite there, and he reminisced about his dad. Now, after his dad passed away, his mother, who was an awesome woman of God, His mother remarried, and he kind of came into a blended family with he and his sister, and there was I think there was three other siblings on the other side of the family. But it was a pretty tough time for him, and he had to make his way and fight pretty hard in his family. And there were elements of what he went through that were pretty tough. But as it is for all of us, no matter what the world says that we don't have a choice, he had to make a choice. And through that choice, he saw many lives changed in his life. I'm one of five. I'm the youngest of five kids. One of the things that he told us kids, he said, I don't mind if you argue. Arguments are okay, but just don't fight. Just don't fight. And I'm fortunate to be in a family, even though a couple of my brothers and sisters aren't Christians, I'm fortunate to be in a family where we all get along really well. We have our disagreements, but we don't fight. And that's just one thing that he put into place. He made a choice to follow God. He was a pastor in the Methodist Church, then in the Uniting Church, and then he went out with itinerant ministry. My brother is a pastor. I'm a pastor. There's nothing wrong with my other brothers and sisters, as much as I love to tell them that. One thing I do say to my older sister is when she, you know, I do stir her up a bit because she's quite a bit older than me, like 16 years older than me. One of the things that I say to her is, you were the first parented of the children and it stands out. But we get along really well. And through his choices, we as a family live very securely and have had a great relationship as a family, and obviously until Dad passed away last year. And much of what I have today is because of the choices that he made. The choices that he made. We all have a choice today to choose our Heavenly Father as he did. No matter what our experience has been with our earthly father. Now, Louis Giglio, some of you may have heard of him, he did a series of messages on the perfect father. And in it, he made this statement: God is the perfection, not the reflection of our earthly father. Let me just say that again. God is the perfection, not the reflection of our earthly father. And in the messages, he spoke about different types of fathers. And he spoke about the absent father, whether they're not there at all or whether they're there but not there. The angry father, the abusive father, the performance-based father, the antagonistic father, and he did speak about quite a few, and he spoke about the empowering father and the encouraging father. He spoke right across the board about the different fathers. Now, there is truth in this statement, and it probably is a true statement, and I know Graham said it before, that you never escape your parents. And for some, that is harder to deal with than for others. And we've all had different father experiences. But again, I'd like to have that choice thing on the screen if we can. But we can all make a choice today, as in we all have the ability to make a choice today. Now, I want to take a moment to pray today, and it was interesting that Graham prayed about this, but I, as I was preparing this message, that I felt to pray on a couple of levels today. And one of the things the Bible says when we have these choices is to honour your father and mother. And Ephesians 6, 2-3 says this, honour your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honour your father and mother, things will go well for you and you will have a long life on earth. It doesn't say things will go well for your mother and father. It says things will go well for you. And if you're a husband or a wife, if you're a child, if you're a single person, whoever you are today, this is for all of you. Things will go well for you. And if you're in a family and you haven't honoured your mother and father, today is the day where you can make a choice to do that. Now, honouring isn't saying, well, I'm not going to honour them because they've done poorly as a father. That's got nothing to do with it. And I don't want to go into the depths of honouring, but it is important. It's kind of weighing it up. You see the truth for what it is. It's not denying that there's been a problem, or it's not over-exaggerating that things are fantastic. It's about honouring. And so what do you want for you, and what do you want for your family in the future? Because this says that if you honour your father and mother, it will go well with you. It's your choice. And I also just wanted to touch on the forgiveness thing as well. That maybe you're sitting here today and you haven't honoured and you have unforgiveness in your heart towards your father. And, it, you know, in a sense it may be justified. But forgiveness and unforgiveness has an outworking too. And the Bible talks about that the unforgiveness doesn't lock the other person up, it actually locks you up. And so I want to take a moment. I don't want hands raised or anything, because I know there are fathers and sons and daughters and so forth. But if that's you, I want you to sincerely pray in your heart with me that we deal with some stuff today. Because I want it, and I know God wants it to go well with you. And he doesn't put this stuff in his word for fun. He doesn't put this stuff because it might be a nice idea. He actually does it because the outworking of it is truth. And so let's just take a moment to pray. And if you, as Graham said this morning, if that's something you need more prayer for afterwards, then I encourage you to come up and see him, and you can see me afterwards as well. But let's pray together. So let's bow our heads and pray. Father, it is Father's Day. And so, Lord, for those who struggle with this and may struggle with honouring and may struggle with forgiveness, I pray today that there would be freedom. I pray that any power that the enemy has over someone's life here today would be broken in Jesus' name. We just pray that but where there hasn't been honouring, there would be. Where there's been unforgiveness, there would be forgiveness. And I pray that through today, as we sit here right now, that families would come back together. I pray that relationships would come back together. We pray for your healing power in this. And it's our choice on whether we move forward in that. But Father, I pray that you would give people courage and strengthen, and that, Lord, we would remove what is gone in the past and we would move on into the future. And I pray for each and every person who links with me today, who recognises that today as we sit here, and even those who are watching on TVs at home or wherever they're watching, Father, I pray in Jesus' name that we would see victory and freedom today in this area. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. So for fathers here today, young and old, because it's not too late, the second part of my message today is that around the whole aspect of choice. And for any future fathers, no matter how old you are, And I know there's some young guys here today. I see a couple on the front row here today. We have a choice on how we are and how we can be the best we can in being a reflection of our Heavenly Father. And the best way to do that is to look at how Jesus modeled this for us. And you might say today, well, I've been a bad father, or I'm a bad father, or I've made some mistakes in your life. Well, my God's not a God about the past. He's a God about the future. He's a God about changing lives, bringing freedom and release to not only you, but those around you. As we read, as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. You can make a choice today to go, righto, I'm gonna start. This is a new day for me. And so here are three quick things that Jesus was and he modeled to us. And here they are, three thick things, quick things. Secure, Jesus was secure. Jesus was submitted and Jesus was a servant. And as a father or an aspiring father here today, this is an exhaustive list. But if you put these three things under your belt, it'll be a massive thing as a father. And even as people here, it doesn't matter whether male or female, you put these three things under your belt and they'll make a massive difference in your life and in those around you. So secure, what does it mean? Secure. Secure in knowing who you are. Matthew 3:17 says this, "And suddenly a voice came from heaven then saying, 'This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.'" Jesus listened to his Father. He knew his Father was pleased with him and he walked securely in his life no matter what was thrown at him. Who are you listening to about who you are? Or whose you are? Who are you listening to? You're listening to the world about what it says and for fathers here about fathers and men? Or are you listening to what the Word of God says? And just a side note on that, if you pull bits and pieces out of the Word of God and say, I like this but I don't like that, so I'll listen to this and I won't listen to that, that's not going to work for you. The Word of God is the Word of God, and it's just so important that we look at the whole thing. Jordan Peterson wrote a book called 12 Rules for Life. And some of you may have heard about Jordan Peterson. And he is big on personal responsibility. He's massive on personal responsibility. And he particularly has a real voice into the life of young men and older men. And they've quietly gravitated to him. And I've got a section of a quote that he made, just a part of a quote. So I'm pulling this out of something and he said, and he said this, "And it's very useful to tell everyone, not just men," but he was speaking mostly to men, "that they can have an important role to play, a necessary role to play, and if they act properly and honestly and forthrightly, that they can put their lives together and they can help their families and they can make their communities better. And that's not toxic masculinity." And he says this, that appalling phrase. "It's what keeps the world going around." And I ask you again today, who are you listening to about who you are? Psalm 139, and I've got some scripture here to read out. Psalm 139, verses 1, and we've got 17, 1 and 17 and 18 on the screen, but I've got 13 and 14 here I wanted to add in as well. "O Lord, you have searched me thoroughly and have known me." And verse 13, "For you form my innermost parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will give thanks and praise for you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them? If I could count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Psalm 118, verse 6 says, the Lord is on my side. The Lord is on your side, people here today. The Lord is on your side. I will not fear. What can the other voices do to me? Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Who are you listening to today? What voices are you listening to? We have a choice who we listen to today. And as I read that, I feel secure in who I am. That I know there's only one me, and God created me in the way that he would like, and he has a plan for my life. Jesus was secure. Be secure in who you are and listen to the right voice. And the second one is submissive. He was submissive. Jesus was submissive. He was not a lone ranger. He didn't go on his own and do things on his own. He was submissive. John 15:19 says this. So Jesus answered them by saying, I assure you and most solemnly say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, of his own accord, unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever things the Father does, the Son in his turn also does the same way. Jesus was submitted to the Father. As people here today, are you submitted to the Father? Are you submitted to his word and how he says to work it out? Even if things aren't quite going the way you think they should, are you submitted to his word? Or again, as we make a choice, are we submitting to other voices that sound like good ideas but aren't quite? I think it's Proverbs that talks about there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. Are you submitted to truth? The truth. Jesus was. Luke 22:42. At his toughest point, he asked the question, Father, if you are willing, this is Luke 22:42, Father, if you're willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Please take it away. Some of us have been in that point. And he says this, yet I want your will. He was submitted to the Father. I want your will to be done, not mine. Are you submitted today? Romans 8:14 says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Submit to him today. Lastly, he was a servant. Mark 10:45 says this, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others. He served. And to give his life as a ransom for many. As a man, ask yourself the question, are you a servant? Are you a servant in your workplace? Are you a servant with your friends? Are you a servant in your family? Because that's what Jesus modeled to us. He modeled to us the art of being a servant. And I just want to speak into the lives, particularly of husbands here, but even aspiring husbands. Ephesians 5:25, and this is a powerful scripture about marriage, and I just got one excerpt out of it where it talks about submitting. But it says this, and this is how Jesus modeled it. For husbands, this means love your wives Just as Christ loved the church, he gave up his life for her. He was ultimately serving the church. As husbands, are you serving your wives? Are you serving your family? Because we know what Jesus went through. As a husband, you may be falsely accused. I hope you're not whipped and beaten, but maybe that's the case in your house. But are you serving to the point where you're giving your life up? Or are you lording it over? Because this, what the Word of God says, is that we need to be servants. We need to be just like Jesus. And if you're a father here today, or a husband, or an aspiring person who, you know, wants to be a great father one day, if you're a servant, that is going to put you in such good stead, and your family will be secure if you serve. So, as I come to a close today, make a choice today. Make a choice to be secure, to be submitted, and to be a servant. And as Joshua so beautifully put it, as for me and my house, he made a choice. We will serve the Lord. Can I get everyone to stand, please, today? In the moment, does the team want to come? We're gonna close with Good Father. And as Graham said before, if you feel like you need to come for prayer afterwards, then I want to encourage you to do that. We're going to pray today for Father's Day and for fathers and families, because it's just so important in God's order of things. Father, I just thank you that you are the perfect Father. And Lord, you know, with how our imperfection, that, you know, none of us in this room are perfect. But I just think of every single father that's here and watching online, or, you know, may have not feel like they didn't measure up. Well, Lord, you're about the future, not the past. And you want to change lives for the future, change families for the future. And so, God, I pray that if there is a weight that people are carrying here today because they feel like they haven't measured up as a father, I pray that that weight would be lifted, that by your Spirit they would know that they can walk out of this place and know that they are forgiven. And, you know, we understand it may not fix the relationship straight away, but, Lord, it begins a process in time, walking with you. And also that we can walk in the knowledge that, you know, if we are secure, if we're submitted, and if we're a servant, we can be a great example to our families. And so, Lord, as this service comes to a close, I pray that you would empower all of us by your Spirit to serve you. And Lord, that there would be freedom that comes from today that has never been seen in families before. And we just pray for your power to be in every household that's represented here today. And we just give you thanks that you are a good, good Father. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen.